the surface, the plot and the purpose. So when the journey gets long, just know that you are loved. There's light up above, and joy, there's always enough. Bubbles up. Bubbles
are. This is Judy Berry from Earth First, and when I'm in Portland, I listen to non-commercial community radio, KBOO. Portland, no compromise in defense of the truth.
It's been called the sport of kings, but corruption, animal doping, and bad breeding have made horse racing often stressful, painful, and downright deadly for the horses that are forced to run.
There was no way that I would continue to be engaged in racing and breeding horses while horses were being drugged, breaking down, and sent to slaughter.
We'll be talking with Susan Kane, former racehorse owner and founder of the Unbridled Thoroughbred Foundation, about why it's time to consider an end to horse racing. That's on the next Voices for the Animals, Friday, October 27th at 10 a.m. only on 90.7 KBOO FM.
KBOO's fall membership is almost over. We invite you to become a member right now by going to kboo.fm/give or by texting KBOO to 44321. Contribute during this last week of the drive, and your donation will be matched dollar for dollar up to $14,000 thanks to the generous support of a group of donors. Hurry and join the KBOO family today and help us meet our $55,000 goal at kboo.fm/give. Together, we can do it.
Hi, this is Judy Collins, and you're listening to KBOO in Portland.
Good morning. Hello, hello. You're listening to The Gap here at the KBOO Studios. I am Tammy, and with me is Althea. How are you?
Hello and good morning.
How's it going?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
It was, I was disoriented to see how it was pitch black this morning.
Yeah. We haven't even hit the daylight savings time yet. I'm not ready for it.
Yeah, you weren't ready for it when it started.
No,
you're not ready for it when it's here.
Well, yes, this is The Gap. KBOO Portland Friday Talk Radio, as Tammy likes to say.
The most listened to talk radio show on KBOO on Fridays at 8 a.m.
Yeah, and no one can take that away from us.
When we're on.
Yeah, when we're here. When you're here, you're family, Olive Garden style.
Oh, unlimited.
Yeah, unlimited talking about news and doing community questions, which is what we do on this show.
And breadsticks sometimes.
And breadsticks, well... Yet, we haven't yet had breadsticks.
Yet,
but
yeah.
The potential for breadsticks is unlimited. We like to do a two-parter type of show. So first half, we do a news roundup. We're talking some headlines with you. And in the second half, we'll open up the phone lines for our community question for you to call in and become one of our callers and chat to us. Before we get into the business, I have to say some thank yous to the recent donors to our fall membership drive. Guys, we are getting so close to this $55,000 goal. $55,000 for 55 years of KBOO.
Oh.
So thank you to, we have an anonymous donor, Rico G. Thank you, Peter G, Ivan R, and Glenn C. Woohoo! Thanks for supporting KBOO. Be like these people. If you donate before the end of the show, I'll probably say your name.
Ooh. I like that.
Trade. Trade ya. KBOO.FM/give is the website. You can also text KBOO to 44321. We really appreciate it.
That's awesome. And the fall, the membership ends, what, it's like a couple more
it
days
It ends tomorrow,
donate.
Actually.
Ooh.
It's actually like the home stretch.
The big push.
The big push. The oomph. Be our big push. You know, I don't know about that phrasing.
You know what the difference between try and triumphant?
What?
A little oomph.
Ooh! That's good. Boom. That's good. Okay, with that oomph, shall we get into the business?
Yeah.
To our business, the business we do on the show.
As you said, as you were expressing your thank yous and thank you to all the donors, I'd like to shout out, welcome to the new House of Representatives Speaker, Michael Johnson. They did
Welcome.
It. They did it.
They did it. I didn't think it was possible.
And all of them voted for him. So, you know, that's if that's not teamwork.
Yeah. They said, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired.
He said, we failed at our teamwork when we tried to say that the 2020 election was rigged.
Yep.
And but this time, here he is. He managed to get his way. And now we have a House of Representatives.
How lucky are we to have a Speaker of the House who was one of the architects of the legal argument to overturn the 2020 election. Somebody who really respects government. I'm being sarcastic. I hope my tone conveys it, but in the off chance, some people have a hard time reading sarcasm. I don't want you to think I took a hard swing right and I was like, Mike Johnson was my pick from the start. You guys didn't know about this guy until... Well, you were saying that the amount of like info on him...
Oh, yeah, I was looking around because, you know, there's as war rages on and... in different places of the world,
sure.
And you know, the news is completely occupied with what's happening in the wars, what's happening with the active shooter in Maine it's a manhunt.
Manhunt.
And so I was like, what's going on with the House of Representatives? Like, did they figure that out?
Yeah.
So after Jim Jordan was out,
Tom Emner kinda, or
yeah,
something?
Yeah, and there wasn't too much info about him. And then all of a sudden I started hearing murmurs of Mike Johnson, Michael Johnson. I don't know, I feel like that's like, I'm not his friend, I'm Mike, you know? Michael Johnson, there's a couple murmurs here and there. I saw a couple of articles, and I was trying to go back to that one article that I found that I liked. And whoa, it's like, what's Mike Johnson's favorite breakfast cereal? Like, everything was on there.
Things
like, whoa.
You need to know.
BuzzFeed was going... BuzzFeed reinvented journalism. It used to be articles, words, complete sentences, boom, lists.
Right.
10 top lists of something.
10 listicles of things that, of generally agreeable things that House Speaker Michael Johnson doesn't agree with. Can I also say, I mean, we were talking about this as well in prep for the show. Michael Johnson is like the most regular name. They're like, we can't agree on anything. We have to pick the least, you know. Michael Johnson could be anybody. There's a lot of Michael Johnson out there.
It sounds almost like an alias.
Yeah.
Like John Doe or something, you know? But maybe we have an uneventful, you know, time with him as speaker. May things be quiet and uneventful, even though they probably... You know what? Who knows?
Who knows?
Surprised before. I've been surprised.
I mean, this whole situation is surprising, really.
Sure.
Sure.
I mean, starting with Matt Gaetz to where we got now, like the last... How long? It hasn't even been a month. My goodness.
It's been
45
like,
days.
I mean, look, 3 weeks is... And we're coming up on it, right?
Yeah.
We have like, what? 10 or so days? No. Maybe like 2 weeks until the government shuts down. And I'm sure that the far right, whatever. I'm sure they still want to shut the government down. But now they're like, we're not just going to de facto shut the government down.
Sure.
I wonder what they promised him.
Yeah, I think he has a plan for... Well, he already talked about how one of his first... I mean, his guy's all America first, and his first order of business is sending money across the sea, or, you know, sending money out, which... I was like, well, that's not very America first of you, but I did get heard an interesting take that it's his way of trying to put America first by almost defunding the Ukraine war and then bringing money into a different war. So I don't know. We'll see. We will live and we'll see, as they say. Mike Johnson, we're all looking.
I was going to say we're watching you, but that feels rude. I don't know.
We're looking, hoping that, you know, everyone makes the right decision.
Already working forward. The military-industrial complex. I see. Okay.
Going back to the bread and butter of the American government.
If we can't agree on anything, surely we can get some military spending done.
And speaking of agreeing to disagree.
Oh.
You want to move on to some local news?
Talk to me.
I saw this and I thought it was an Onion article, but it wasn't. It was OPB. And it was saying that there is a local who wants to push a ballot measure for next year, 2024, going back on the ruling that people can self-pump their own gas.
It's a local
555 UFC
United Food UFCW. And Commercial Workers UCFW.
This was so last month. No, was it August or September?
I think it was August when it. So we only got some self-serve gas as of August. That's when it started happening.
Yeah, and it was there's still gas stations still require you to have some gas pumps where there's an attendant who pumps
at
your
least
gas.
Half.
However, I guess that seems to not be the case happening in Eugene where they filed this. But they want to push it back. They would say, hey, I know that you said that we're going to do this, but just kidding. We don't like this anymore. And the reasoning behind,
it's challenging. It's challenging. Go ahead, please. She's speechless, folks.
May these be our problems.
Yeah.
May these really be the problems that we face.
Whether or not self-serve gas.
I don't get, I'm really, a part of me is like, it's for the workers and they're workers and they're being, and they're, something is going, something, right?
Right?
And I have yet to see that type of response from people who are actually working at the gas pumps. If anything, we're hearing that it's hard to staff those positions anyway.
Yeah.
And they, last time that we talked about this, listeners were saying how, years ago it used to be different. You used to get a little car detail on the outside.
They'd check your oil for you or something.
So it has evolved to the point that maybe it's better for people to just do it on their own while still having the option, if you don't want to, or if you physically can't or whatever.
I think was passing in May or June, mm-hmm. passing the legislature, and then Kotek signed it in August, and then it went into effect. And before all of that happened, we had like an open conversation with listeners, and we weren't hearing too many takes that were like, do not do this, absolutely not, especially because they're still offering the option. And what I experience at the gas station is now that there's not a wild line that you're actually out in the road for, like if there's an attendant spot open, then I take that, and if there isn't, then I just go do it myself. And if I was wearing something nice, as one caller pointed out at the time, I think I would, maybe I would wait. But there's a quote in this OPB article from the local president, I believe, that says, I am concerned about jobs. I don't like self-checkout at grocery stores either, but my primary concern is quirkiness. It's an odd little thing that helps make Oregon, Oregon. True. This OPB article also kind of discusses how maybe it's sort of pushback on the House Majority Leader, Julie Fahey, who had maybe reneged on a thing where she said that she would pass a law making it easier for cannabis workers to unionize. And, she's saying that she was like, I was interested in it, but I didn't say it, but said that they're making that 100% making that up. And that,
That makes more sense. I was figuring maybe there's something in, this is not really about the gas attendants or people pouring their own gas into their vehicles as much as it is about something else, and they're doing, pulling a U.S. government and just trying to put it all into one into one thing so that we don't notice it. In that same article, OPB, that you were quoting, there's another part that, hold on a second, I just wanted to double sure. Yeah, this is from the proposal. Oregon stood shoulder to shoulder with New Jersey I'm not even making this up, as the last bastions of resistance to oil company giveaways at the expense of jobs and accessibility.
The Beaver State should restore this historic alignment with the Garden State. Like Oregon. that old poster that's like, isn't it like China and Russia or like the USSR like shaking hands, or but it's like the Oregon and New Jersey like yes
what's
together.
Their mascot, what's their beep, what's their,
it's a garden.
Oh, well, beavers like,
well, they may actually be incompatible with the type of garden that New Jersey is cultivating.
Well, some would say they're almost as compatible as oil and water.
Okay.
There it is.
Okay. Look, if this is an issue, I want to hear about it, but I'm not, I guess I'm just, I'm a little unconvinced that, well, and here's the other thing is like, one, let this be our problems.
Amen.
Two, that this started like less than 2 months ago. I was telling Tammy yesterday, we haven't even gotten to a daylight savings time after it. This fall hasn't even technically started. We're still in the same season as when it started. So what the heck? We're not even going to let it run for 6 months before we're like, nah, we don't like it anymore.
Sure. I mean, not even like Bravo Television has this much going on in the season, you know? But I do agree with you. I personally, I'm super open to understanding more why this matters in the sense of like, why does it matter for people to organize in the workplace and why does labor law matter? Like, yeah. No, I get that. I 100% get that. But so I'm open to understanding why this is such an issue. And also if someone wants to be like, I'm going to say it, a little bit more forthcoming about what exactly is the issue with this, because it does seem like there's that the cannabis worker unionizing efforts to, and I understand like not, I get it. A lot of workplaces get very scared when you say union, and especially in the cannabis industry because of all its, you know, different regulations and all. There's probably, I can see, you know, cannabis business owners having more to lose than gain if people unionize, you know, at least for now until it becomes federally legal. But I'm looking at this a little side eye, a little just like, give it some time. And I don't get what the rush is. And also, since this came out, I pumped gas twice all by myself.
Yeah, how'd it go?
It was fine. You know, the person ahead of me did also, but the person on the other side had someone do it for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like,
right.
I don't know. It seemed that now he doesn't have to like run around between three cars and deal with three different people and different mood swings or whatever, you know?
Yeah. The guy that pre-self-serve gas that I saw at the gas station near me that tried to pump his own gas and then cussed out the attendant who told him he couldn't do that. That won't happen anymore. I mean, here's the other thing. If it's, I don't know. We discussed this at length. We don't need to go too deep into it. But I've found the process to be better. Less waiting in line, less cars idling, waiting for to have attendant service. Because with, you know, in the case of the gas station that I go to, you know, before this law, there would be like probably 8 pumps that exist that are not fully staffed.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody can use them.
Yeah.
So there are cars lined into the street, you know, practically onto the highway. So now that's not happening. People aren't idling. People aren't jostling for position and having to, you know, waste time and energy sitting at the gas station.
Yeah, I think we're kind of on the same page on I see why this is a good thing, but if you want to tell me it's not and you have reasonings, I'm open to it. You know?
Okay.
So far, I'm sold, but if I should return it, let me know.
Okay, shall we go to our next story here?
Yeah, would you like to take the...
Well, which part should we talk about first? Because you brought this to me. We're talking about school. We're talking about teacher strike. We're talking about testing requirements.
Oh, man.
In Oregon.
This, you know, sometimes when you read an article and you're like, wait, this sounds kind of familiar. I heard something about this last week. And then in the article, there's hyperlinks and you're like, wait a second, this is sound real. And then all of a sudden you're reading articles from like 2001 and you're like, this has been this has been in the making for years. So I ended up doing the Charlie Day thing where I'm putting one thing.
Red string.
Yeah, I guess I can start with or if you want to start with the strike, since it is kind of
okay. Be historic. Sure. Well, Portland public school teachers are going on strike on next Wednesday, I think. Or no, yeah, Wednesday, November 1st. Unless they can reach an agreement. This would be, I believe, the first time in history that the Portland Association of Teachers is going on strike in this way. And some of the things that they are after specifically is a cost of living increase, more time for lesson planning, smaller class sizes, and mental health support for both teachers and students. And that is not something that the district has really met them on. They declared an impasse, I believe, last week. The district says that they can't do it, but I have heard that the district is sitting on a pretty big rainy day fund that they don't want to spend on students or teachers or any of that stuff. So yikes, I guess is my is my take. What is your take?
I heard about that because it's been again kind of an you know, it's been brewing for a minute.
99% of teachers who voted in this said yes, we'll strike. That's like a margin. Go ahead.
That's pretty significant.
Yeah.
So we've been hearing that in the background, kind of, you know, folks talking about that for a while, and not to even contrast, but just like to almost add to that conversation, I read an article from the Oregon Live, and it was talking about how Oregon high school students don't need to prove mastery of reading, writing, or math to graduate, citing harm to students of color. I don't even want to read that last part because they'll say anything is just harming anything that's of color, and I don't think there's enough people of color in this town to make that. But anyways, the point being is that almost infuriated me, and so I'm trying to figure out how does this, the fact that they want to take away these standardized testing because they're saying that it's somehow harmful to historically marginalized communities, and so that they won't have to prove that they know how to read, write, and do math in order to graduate. And I get that standardized testing is not a way to, you know, whether it's standardized testing, IQ tests, things like that, they're not holistic. They don't actually, mm-hmm. It's more of like, how much can you memorize and then regurgitate? Mm-hmm. I personally, you know, don't jive with it. I know a lot of brilliant people who've, you know, if their whole lives was to be measured by standardized testing, then they wouldn't make it. You know, they wouldn't be where they're at. So there are a lot of different avenues to, you know, express that you understand what you learned, and you get more of that once you reach college, because then you start doing more in-depth essays, you do, like, you know, presentations, and there are different ways of accruing, like, credits in order to graduate your class. Sure. High school is not that way. That is, it's very clear, it's not that way. There are a few things here and there that you can do that are alternatives to standardized tests in order to bump up your grade. So it's not even, you know, it's not even all encompassing in that way. But the fact that the school board wants to suspend any type of assessments, is no one thinking about 5 years from now? And now, so now you're going to have, it's going to devalue what an Oregon high school diploma means. Mm-hmm. You're going to have, and if you want to help students of color so much, none of them are going to go to college because none of them are going to know how to read or write or do math because there's no standard for them no measuring stick to be able to have that graduation mean anything, that certificate to mean anything. Yeah. And then they'll have to rely even more on standardized testing in order to make it to college,
right,
or
your
even community
SAT,
college.
Your ACT.
And again, it's not to say that the way that we've been doing things is the only way to do things.
No, it's not. It's definitely not.
I totally get it. I 100%. But I just don't think that getting rid of the measuring stick, for lack of better words, is going to help the students. But I can see how it can help the school, the public schools, to keep that sweet, sweet money and graduation. And then as I kept going, I saw this other article from OPB, and this is from yesterday. Reports show more Oregon students on track to graduate. But what does that matter if they can't read and write upon graduation? It makes no sense. Before that, I read another article from September. State test scores show some progress, lingering needs in Oregon schools.
Yeah. This is tough. I mean, I think the metaphor I came up with last time was like getting rid of the gas gauge because you don't want to see that you're on empty. If you're like, oh, I can't see I'm on empty, then right. I'm not. I fail to see like the real connection to I fail to see the connection that this is improving things, I guess. Who benefits? Who is this to the benefit of?
The school board. They keep the money.
It benefits perhaps our national rankings in terms of our graduation rate, because graduation rate is one of those things we want to pat ourselves on the back and say, look how many people are graduating. Look how many people we gave a good education to.
What is DeVry University?
This public system, you know? And why not invest in the stuff that people actually need? Why not take the lessons that we've learned in terms of, culturally specific stuff or, starting school, making school start times an hour later? Like, there's a lot of things that we could do to make school more accessible, more, engaging to students. Stop teaching to the test.
Mm-hmm.
What we're not talking about is Common Core. Oh, okay. I'm not going to get fired up on Common Core. Suffice it to say, I don't like it. And it's weird that I'm agreeing with a quote from former Republican governor candidate Christine Drazen in this Oregon Live article in which, where's her quote? Here's what she, Oregon Live quotes her. Drazen, a former member of the legislature, wrote that she had opposed the 2021 bill that suspended the requirement in the first place. Oregon doesn't need to decrease standards, she wrote, but create and act on a concrete plan to increase students' academic achievement. And then right after that, they're quoting the executive director for this collaborative nonprofit focused on educational equity, saying that pausing or ending graduation requirements without proposing more effective and equitable alternatives risks leading Oregonians to believe that our state is lowering expectations to artificially mask disparities and reinforces false and prejudiced ideas that students' demographics dictate their academic success.
She said the quiet part out loud. Finally, someone being honest, someone being real.
And it's approved by the school board, education board or something, an unelected body.
Right. This is something that I think we would need a public forum on. This is something that impacts the schools, the students, the parents, the community, our community in a year from now, 2 years from now, 3 years from now, 10 years from now. Another part of this article wants to highlight that the board members underscore the state-mandated standardized test will be administered to most Oregon high school students. They just won't be used to determine whether a student has the skills necessary to graduate.
Can I tell you what else this probably means? Not only a reliance on privatized standardized testing in order to show that you can meet a requirement. So that already money right there. You have to pay to take the SAT, to take the ACT. You have to pay the College Board for those things, for AP and everything like that. It also probably means that when you get to college, they don't have any record that you've sufficiently completed algebra 2 or whatever. Right. So now you're taking remedial math or you have to add extra credits onto your load. And part of this is about, kids who have had a hard time in these subjects don't have time for an elective. That's not cool. It's like, okay, I agree it's not cool, but also if they go to college, they're going to have more stuff to make up for that they're paying for out of pocket, as opposed to something in our public education system that is not taxpayer based.
I mean,
did you want to take a 5-6 year degree instead of your 4 year degree?
Which what would that look like? That would make it so impossible for a student to graduate, because they'd have to take they'd have to take on such a ridiculous schedule just to be able to prove to the school that they're at this. And this is, again, putting and this is why I hate this whole thing of citing that it's harming students of color. They're harming students of color. Mm. You're the one doing it. And this is I can't believe this is you've heard this phrase. It's the bigotry of low expectations.
Mm.
And this is really what it feels like. And they're saying students whose second language, students of color and students with disabilities end up having to take intensive senior year writing and math to improve to prove that they deserve a diploma. Duh. What can I tell you? I was a student of color that was an ESOL. Yeah, I had to make sure that I knew how to read the language of the land in order to continue. Are you freaking kidding me? And it's, again, this, and then it makes me think of, the whole idea of charter schools and why this is, what are they looking at to, who are they putting the onus on for this?
Hmm.
Is it on the students? Is it on the teachers? Is it on the curriculum itself?
Hmm.
Where's the buck where is it stopping? And it's stopping. It's this is insanity. And then on top of it, you know, and so when I see this, you know, the Oregon Union, that the teacher union is going on, you know, on strike. A, low-key, I'm thinking, is it really going to make a difference the way to a student's day-to-day life about what they're learning? Because I don't even know what are they gaining from that? But then also, maybe there is something seriously wrong that they're trying to bring to our attention, and the school, my conjecture. 2 cents. Yeah. The school board seeing that, you know, the teacher union want more, and this means that they'll need to invest more money into the schools, into the teachers, and to, because that's what their demands are. And then that means the school, you know, they'll have to spend more money.
Can't spend it on administrators, which they've been doing a lot of, who are not, you know, the day-to-day people. And I mean, here's the thing. It's not like this is the only option for fixing a low graduation rate, you know. This isn't a discussion about, hey, can we reform, you know, what our criteria are for you to meet, you know, the essay portion, or change, you know, what types of math we accept, or even you could write an essay in a different language if you wanted to. And like, there's ways to have a conversation about that, about like, how do we show kids, how do we allow different types of mastery to be shown? Like, but what is the bare minimum? We have to have a minimum of like, here's what a diploma means. And it doesn't just mean that you went to school. It means you paid attention. And part of that has to be related to the teacher strike being like the enormous class sizes, the incredible amount of pressure that like so many teachers have exited the field after COVID because of how, or even during COVID because of how intense and difficult a time it was. Even now, you know, we were talking probably this time last year about the issues with not like discipline, but like behavioral issues.
Oh yeah, they had to shut down the school
of like middle school and like, you know, violence at school, and
there was the shootings. Yeah, and outside of high schools.
What do you? To me, there's a lot of things that we could be working on addressing, and my understanding is we have the money to do it. So I'm not sure that, like I said, you know, coloring over the gas gauge with a marker. Because here's the thing, they're still going to have the data on who did or didn't take the test and whether or not they passed. That's just not the thing that people are going to look at anymore, because that's not indexed to whether or not you graduate.
I just really wonder, so what is it, are they going to let people graduate on personalities? Like, they're really taking the phrase personality higher to the next level. This is failing. And if they, I'll use their own language, this is failing students of color so much. This is failing all the students that you say are being hurt. But like,
it feels really bad to lay that at the feet of students of color who you haven't invested in for like a century. You guys are doing bad on the test because we've never helped
about
you.
2020s when all these, you know, we got to also think 2020s when half of these 2021 really when half of these initiatives like really started percolating in order, and you know, culturally responsive teachings, you know, social emotional learning. But
is it a COVID thing or is it a justice and equity thing? I think it started as a COVID thing, which is like, hey, we're not going to have anybody graduate in the next 2 years because of how bad things have gotten with the pandemic online schooling. It's like, okay, that makes sense. Those are children that were just going to get failed by the system because of our health response. But it doesn't make sense to say that it's a racial equity thing.
Yeah, I'm gonna need folks to stop doing that. And I get that it's an easy sell. I get that in a town that's so white, it's easy to pluck on people's heartstrings and make them feel guilty like this. But this is not. This makes no sense. This is, y'all keep yelling racism when it doesn't make sense and it loses its meaning, and then it makes it difficult to actually think clearly because everyone is just like, I don't want to be called a racist. Oh my God, let's just get rid of everything that could in any way maybe have disparaging outcomes.
Right.
Where it's like, let's figure it out. Like, it's, you know, there's, and that's,
and it like, yeah, I totally agree with you. And instead of like addressing the root of the problem, instead of getting creative and questioning some of the things that are very based to our assumptions about public education and what it should look like and how do we teach kids and what schools do they go to and all of these questions, instead of that, it's delete the requirement, nobody's right. mad at us anymore for right, for right. how bad our outcomes are.
No one can see that. Yeah. And I mean, if you're going to do all that, then I think that we need to let people have, like, you know, school vouchers so that they can have the option of either, you know, do I want my child to have a diploma that means something or not? And I think that's totally valid, because at this point, this is a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah.
This is exactly what this is.
And it's costing your taxpayers more in the long run, by the way.
Taxpayers.
We're going to move on to our next segment here in a minute to not get too ginned up on the taxpayer, right? But whatever you pay in property taxes to go fund the schools now doesn't go towards your kid having a meaningful diploma. It means that you now have to spend more money at community college, now it's a 5-year degree because,
right.
you know, this has been devalued, and this is over a period. They're suspending it until 2029, the class of 2029.
That is,
and they're like,
terrifying.
Oh, we'll just like reassess until then.
What is that going
to? Why can't we keep it in place and then reassess it?
Because
I don't know.
That would make too much sense. What does that mean for the people who are going to graduate with a diploma that will essentially, in the eye of a lot of other, you know, employers, universities, you know, the country, will look like it's like a DeVry University. Just what, you turn the knob to get in, that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. You turn the knob to get out, that's how you graduate. And again, folks of color are going to be actually the ones that will be harmed from this because of this notion that you got to get rid of its... You got to take a look at what's going on. You don't just throw the whole thing away. Like, you know, what's the thing where those pigeons, what are those big pigeons with the long necks and they put their heads in the sand? What do you call the turkeys? They put their head in the sand.
Emu, an ostrich?
Emus, whatever.
Ostrich, yeah.
Ostrich. Thank you, Sherry.
Sherry, the board op says it's an ostrich. Thank you. Yeah.
But
let us not.
At the cost of taxpayers and also people's education's future of this country, city, state.
Yeah. Invest in public education. Don't strip it away.
Mm.
Okay.
Anywho's.
Well, this is The Gap on KBOO Portland. We're going to head into our community question segment is what we call it. I don't know why I was going to rebrand it there for you. I'm Althea. Tammy's here with me. We're going to take a quick musical break and we'll be right back. This is The Gap on KBOO Portland. We're getting into our community question segment. If you want to call 503-231-8187, we're bringing back the wheel for today. But if you want to talk about other things that we've mentioned,
yeah, we'll
throw you a question in a minute.
Since the spooky season, we have our
mystery question wheel.
Ooh.
Ooh. But we do have a caller on the line who wants to chat about what we were saying in the previous segment. Hi, caller. How's it going?
Hi, it's going pretty good. I really agree that the educational system is broken. However, I find it something that happens in our society a lot, in a lot of situations when workers strike and ask for things. It seems like whether or not people support the strike often has to do with like tying the workers to performance, and it isn't really the workers. It's much higher up than that. I mean, I think supporting the strike should be a separate thing from trying to get educational reform. You need to, you know, try to influence the school board level. It's not the teachers.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I think we were just trying to connect it as, you know, people are trying to point at this issue that we're having from different directions, but not trying to equate the two. But yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, I understand that. But I just, when you go from you know, talking about the teacher strike, it almost sounds like you're holding them responsible for things not working at levels higher up. And,
yeah,
you know, that's I just needed to comment on that. I mean, I think that has been done, it's not just you and not just this issue, but like, for instance, I was a home care worker, and, you know, that's another thing where you're actually working with the people and the decisions are made much higher up.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not allowed to strike, unfortunately. But I think a lot of times, a lot of the reasons that the union, which wasn't really listening to the rank and file, but a lot of the reasons they gave for, you know, trying to just maintain our contract instead of getting other things, were all these issues that needed to be addressed higher up, like, say, at DHS or at the management level, that we really had no control over.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, supporting the workers should not be part of that discussion.
Well, thank you for your comment. To be clear, okay, we do support the workers. If it came off differently, then, you know, my apologies. I mean, I won't speak for Tammy. I don't think we meant to to conflate the two or to suggest that that teachers aren't on board with, you know, having high standards for students at all.
I didn't necessarily think that you were trying to say that, but mm-hmm. I think those things get confused in other people's minds way too often.
Well, I appreciate the clarification. Would you like a fun question, or you want to leave it at that?
I can do a fun question.
Okay, can we spin the wheel? Spinning the wheel! What's it going to be? What is your most used emoji? We got that one last time. If you don't, we can roll it. Hold on. I should take that one out. Hang on. I'm finding you a different one. What's it going to be? Unless you have an emoji comment, but I'm finding you a better
one. I don't use the computer.
Okay. Well, there you go. If you were a vegetable, what vegetable would you be and why?
I don't know. Maybe a beet just comes to mind, but
ooh,
I'm not really sure why.
Vibrant.
I guess, yeah, the awesome beet greens are so beautiful.
Yeah. Can be used for a lot of different things, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Dyeing clothes.
Ooh.
Good heart food.
Mm. food. Love
it's pretty,
it.
It's purple.
Yeah. One of our most beautiful vegetables.
Sure.
Yes.
Well, thank you for calling. We appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you.
Have a good one. Bye-bye. Well, we should pitch the community question segment because we didn't get to do that yet. I got the wheel up.
Yeah, I'm going to put my computer down.
Okay, yeah, you want to watch the wheel. 503-231-8187. Call in if you want to have a mystery question from the wheel. Spooky, whoa. You can also message us online, kibu.fm. And you can click on the chat with us button. I got that up. You can message us on Instagram at The Gap Radio if you really want, and I'll find you a question.
If you can teleport here, you can. If what other things, modes of means of communication.
If you
pigeon
can,
mail.
Right. If you can divine it into my brain, I'll send you one.
Astro project.
Yeah, there we go.
But if you are using phone, 503-231-8187 for our mystery question.
Ooh.
And this week is the last week for the community question.
The mystery question. We'll come up with something better for you
in the spirit of the spooky holiday that's
spooky.
Coming up soon.
I have a question here for you, Tammy, while we wait for folks to call. Have you ever met a celebrity?
I'm glad you brought this up. You know, during this time when, like I said, war is ravaging the Middle East,
sure,
you know, you have war, famine, disease, everything. People are dying. People are hurting. But in all of this, we have one true American hero who's really stepped up to the plate and said to us, you know what, world? Look at me.
Right.
I will be what you look at instead of this horrible thing. So shout out Jada Pinkett Smith, putting all of her dirty laundry out there for all of us. I know things about Will Smith and Tupac Shakur that I did not need to know.
Sure.
Do I know a lot? So have I ever met her? No.
Yeah.
Do I feel like I've met her?
Sure.
She is all of us.
Yeah.
Not all heroes wear capes, and she is putting herself out there for us to get to laugh, live, love,
Right.
All of the above. Sure. Also, I did meet Alicia Keys one time at a meet and greet.
How did I not know that?
I won concert tickets from the radio.
The radio is good for so many things. Yes. KBOO.FM/give. Okay, we have Barth on the line. How you doing? Oh, okay. We might be working on that. Do you want to hear my celebrity story?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Barth, are you there? Hey.
Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. I just woke up.
Are you ready for your question? Shall we spin the wheel?
Okay. All right. Go for it.
This is our little sound effect for you. Don't worry about it, Sherry. Don't worry about it. I got it. What's it going to be? If you could magically become fluent in any language, what would it be?
Wow. Your mystery wheel befuddles me.
Spooky.
I would say Russian.
Russian.
Because I like Russian because it sounds like they have rocks in their mouth.
And
it just rocks or marbles in their mouth, and it just seems like that'd be a pleasurable thing somehow.
Okay. I like that.
Spasiva.
Yeah. Well, and here's the thing. You get some of the tones and sounds down in Russian. I think it's easier to speak other languages because English, we're a little limited on what we're...
Possibly so. Germany was my first language coming to the United States, so I didn't speak English coming here. But... German and Russian have, I think, similar sounds, but I'm not a linguist.
Right.
You know, so.
That's all right. Well, thank you for answering the mystery question.
Thank you for the mystery question.
That was good. Getting the rubles.
Yeah. If you want a call to get your mystery question, 503-231-8187, you can also visit the website and chat with us there, and I'll give you a question. I'll do it.
I will. Considering you are fluent in both... French and New Yorkin.
Okay.
New Yorkanese.
Can I tell you, people
there.
Come out to me throughout the day and they're like, so you lived in Paris? And I'm like, no, yeah. Tammy is perpetuating.
She did not live in Paris. It was a little city right outside of Paris.
It's not outside
of Paris.
It's
like 25 minutes away.
No, you don't.
What language would you want to magically know?
I mean, probably like Spanish.
Oh, sure. That's
I feel like
makes sense.
And maybe this is like the wrong angle, but like if you knew Latin, wouldn't it be easier to learn all the Romance languages?
Ooh, interesting.
But then also you can't talk to anybody. But yeah, Spanish, like the most frequently used language that I am around that I don't speak is Spanish. Mm. And I'd love to be able to speak it. You know, all the payoff, none of the hard work to become a Spanish speaker. What about you? You got some languages in that brain of yours.
Yeah, I think maybe Gaelic I've always thought would be cool. I'm obsessed with Irish stuff.
Yeah.
And I like the way that it...
lilting, yeah, they call it.
Oh, what is that?
That's lilting.
Lilting.
Like up and down.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing.
Yeah, she's miming it.
The language that they... Elvish would also be cool.
Sure, yeah.
You know, if I'm going to live in the Shire, I might as well a little Elvish. But I like the idea of Latin because I think you'd be able, because a lot of languages are rooted in Latin. I mean, yeah, there you go. You'd probably be telling people they're mispronouncing things all the time.
Yeah. Have you ever heard somebody that like knows Latin speak it? It sounds very strange.
Oh. No, yeah, I know, at least taught it.
It doesn't really roll off the modern tongue. But, you know, because we don't fully know what it's supposed to sound like. But it sounds like we have Scott on the line. Hi, Scott.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for taking my call. I have a question and a comment.
Okay.
There was an email sent out that says Alameda, one of the more privileged elementary schools, gets about $7,000 per year per pupil. Wrigler, one of the disadvantaged elementary schools, gets $14,000 per pupil. I understand the generational inequities get passed along, but how much more do you spend on disadvantaged kids, which seems to be a failed model? And then the comment would be, have you seen the data from the Defense Department schools where they're like killing it everywhere, no pun intended? I think that rather than just dumping money down a drain that doesn't seem to work, we need to really change how we teach kids.
Yeah, I mean, I hadn't seen those statistics specifically, but I think you're pointing to something that I kind of am seeing across a number of different issue areas, which is like, we have money, we'll do the money, we can give the money to it, but
that's
we have
the infuriating part, that there
is
money.
Yeah, we have
money,
to have strategies.
It just gets almost, I don't want to say wasted away, because it does have a purpose to it, but sometimes it doesn't get used at all and it just sits there. But I think that also a big, you know, we've mentioned it, but I'll highlight it again, is that COVID changed everything for a lot of people, especially when it comes to students, teaching in class, in person, or sorry, virtual in-person learning. And there's still, like, there's people who started the pandemic when they're 16, about to be 20 years old, you know? Like, this is like a serious halt, a shaking, rejiggering of so many things. And we had to pretty much, like, overnight, you know, over 2 weeks, figure out, okay, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
What are we going to do? And I think that you're right in the sense of we've seen a cookie cutter model continuously, you know, like just trying to get, it's not working. And I think COVID has, you know, we've heard it before where a big thing happened. Now we really see the cracks in the systems, but I think it completely like obliterated the systems, the school system. We still see it to this day.
Yeah.
So
whatever was sticking it together before.
I think if there isn't already, there should be like, you know, bipartisan, like across the spectrum efforts for whether it is community members or people who want to support teachers, to make change for, you know, through the school board or whatever it is. I think that time is coming. I hope it doesn't lay on the shoulder of like the culture wars and stuff like that. I hope that it's more about, okay, let's get, what's up? What is going on? The education needs to, I don't know, get something, you know, because the teachers are saying it. The students are, can't even stay in the schools. They're fighting each other. And it's
not an impossible task.
It's not impossible
to get to where we want to be. But
I think that we just need to be open and willing for change, because this is not it to just take it. You're taking away someone's future, basically. In a way, like a high school diploma, you know.
It's been seriously devalued, for sure.
And now you want someone to have, now you try to look for a job. They want you to have a minimum of a bachelor's degree.
Yeah.
Minimum. How are these kids going to get a bachelor's degree if they have to go to school 5 years just to get a first degree?
Right.
Yeah. Thanks for your work.
Yeah, thank you. Scott, do you want to have a mystery question or you want to leave it there?
I'll take a mystery question. Why not?
All right, let's roll the wheel.
Nice.
Have you ever won a contest?
I won the third grade coloring contest for Easter, and I still have that colored Easter bunny. I was so proud of myself.
Good for you. Did you have some secret technology that the rest of the third graders didn't know about, the coloring tech?
No, I just spent more time than everyone else at daycare, you know, after school care, and just, you know, really worked hard. Like anything in life, hard work gets you where you need to go.
I hear you, Scott.
As advertised. Thanks, Scott.
Have a good weekend.
You too.
Hard work, you know.
Color me not surprised.
You heard of Picasso? You ever heard of Picasso? Damn, third grade. I won a contest at the science fair in.
You won the science fair?
Yeah. Dude. Static electricity.
Okay.
And I still have the certificate.
Nice.
Yep.
Nice. I won a microwave in a raffle.
What?
Yeah. Senior year of college, they were like, you're going to college, enter this raffle. And then can I tell you something upsetting? My roommate, like I've told you this, I haven't told the listeners this. My roommate accidentally put, instead of for like 80 seconds, 8 minutes, put Tupperware in there and like melted the plastic. And can I be honest, my raffle microwave still smells pretty bad.
Oh, is that the microwave you have now?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Look
it's
at us.
It's coming really handy. I've never had to buy a microwave. You live plenty of places that don't have them. But yeah, and then now I'm like a little worried that every time I've cleaned it. I left it out on the porch. I was like, air it out.
I think you've asked me before, does this smell of plastic? And I'm like, no, it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, and then when the Tupperware thing happened, I like, you know, cleaned it all up. It was like before she got up before me. And this is like what I woke up to was the fire alarm going off. And then I come to work and I'm like, what's that smell? I realize my hair smells like burnt plastic. And I was like, dude, should I go home? I smell terrible. I smell like burnt plastic today. And then now, I mean, I've cleaned it, but I'm always a little worried that It's still in my food.
Listen, we have enough plastics in our bodies between the lead and the plastic, you know?
Yeah.
We'll never get alkalized.
What about the microplastics? Let me tell you about macroplastics, okay? if other folks want to call in for our mystery spooky question, woo, 503-231-8187. I do have some donors to thank.
Thank you.
For our fall membership drive. Folks, we are so close. We have an anonymous donor who donated in the past hour. Thank you. Will S. and Ann L. Thank you, guys. Part of the KBOO family. Thank you for doing it with us. KBOO.FM/give. You got a few minutes left. I might still see it. I might be able to say your name. KBOO.FM/give. You can text the word KBOO or KBOO to 44321 as well. Mm. Should we run another question? What do you think?
Throw it on in there.
Roll the wheel. If you had to teach a class on one thing, what would you teach? This is so topical.
That's so funny. What wouldn't I teach? Oh my gosh. I'm trying to stay not political.
She's got a lot of knowledge in that noggin.
I do a class about resin
yeah,
art.
Yeah, I was going to say I would do an art class and I would really impress onto people, not enforce. Art doesn't have to be good. People are so hung up on art being good. They're like, I can't do it. I'm not good at it. It's like, okay, well, the thing itself is worth doing, you know? And break down your walls, you know?
Have you seen Picasso? You've seen one painting of his. You say, I could do that. And then you realize it's all in your head.
Right.
It's all you. It's all about.
But, you know, I think you just got to do it. I mean, I could also teach. What else could I teach? Yeah, I don't know.
I could do a radio class.
Yeah, we could. We have and do continue to do radio classes. To connect that to the membership drive, if you can't donate, that's okay. Consider coming to volunteer. We'll teach you how to do radio.
Radio, you want to paint the walls, you can paint the walls. The big AC machine is gone. I just realized that.
We got our HVAC here.
Yeah, the HVAC. So it feels nice. Nice and cool or warm, depending on the time of the year.
Sure.
We have a couple more minutes left.
If you want to, do you want to roll another question? What do you say?
We can roll another question.
Okay. Rolling another question. Zoop. It's so trippy. Like the colors
I can't
on the wheel.
The way y'all synced up like this.
Yeah. If you could, we had this one last time, but this is good. If you could bring back any fashion trend, what would it be?
Oh, thank you. What do you got?
Well, my mind immediately went to stuff that's like low effort, because I and maybe that's kind of what's happening now, in terms of fashion trends and what's the new hotness, but a messy bun, showing up disheveled. You know, I don't know if it has been in style, but maybe it could be stains. Let's talk about that.
Althea just described my whole
outfit. No, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about me.
You're wearing jeans.
Stains? You know about this? You're
wearing pants. You're wearing real pants outdoors. It's real pants.
They got a little stretch to them. Don't tell anybody.
I
said
on
Friday, I'm going to be comfortable.
I just rolled out of bed. I was also thinking comfort. So I was thinking like skate shoes, but I think they're still kind of in. Because we used to have like the slip-ons. You just slip those bad boys on, just slip right shoes out the door.
Yeah, light-up shoes.
Light-up
for adults, question
mark? Light-up shoes for adults that are slip-ons.
Yeah.
Boom.
Heelys.
Waterproof
Heelys. Did you ever get into Heelys?
Let me tell you. When I first came to this country, second year in America, I said, what is this?
Yeah.
And my grandmother, God bless her heart, she gave us bought me Skechers.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't know what this is. And I saw all the kids had Heelys on. I said, I want this.
Yeah.
And we went to Claire's at the
Westfield
Mall.
They had them at Claire's. No way.
The Westfield Mall. It was back in the day, you know?
Yeah.
This was like pre-08.
Wow.
Pre-stock market crash.
Yeah. We were high on the hog back then.
We had
wheels in our shoes. It was wild.
But I also remember those hoodies that you had the thumb.
Oh yeah, loved those.
Yeah, I wish
my friend. Caller just gave us a message. Silly hats. They'd love to see come back. I think that's great. I think hats generally. They don't need to be silly.
Sure. And I'll tell you what. I'm going to say it. I don't like the wide-brim hats, like the witch-looking ones.
Yeah.
I don't like them. But I get people like them. But I like the ones that have, like, you pull on the bottom and the little ears go up and down.
Oh, that's those are fun. Cute. Yeah. Well, can I'm having an observation, okay, which is that we're okay with very short-brimmed hats, as in a beanie, as in sure, those little bike hats
sure,
people wear that I'm not really
or
sure
trucker
why.
Hat.
Right. Or a wide-brimmed hat, but no medium brim. No medium amount of brim, you know. And look, let's pull the outfit together. Anyway, we're getting the hand. This has been The Gap. Donate to KBOO, kboo.fm/give. Thanks for being with us. We really appreciate you.
We'll be back next week.
This is Cammie and Althea signing off.
Bye. Thank you, Sherry.
FM and streaming on the web at kboo.fm.
You're listening to KBOO Community Radio, and we're nearing the end of our fall membership drive. We only have a few days left to meet our $55,000 goal, and you can do your part by going to kboo.fm/give to make a contribution today. All donations will be matched up to $14,000 thanks to a generous group of donors. KBOO's independent programming is only possible with your support. Give now at kboo.fm/give.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting.